Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Welcome to Groom Pod episode number 5 alive. We're live on
Hey, 5 alive.
Yeah. July 16th, 2019, and I'm going to very briefly say thank you to our sponsors Best Shot, Show Season, and Evolution Shears, and that's all I'll say about that because we are live. So there we go. Barbara, you have a story to tell us.
Well, I did an interesting thing yesterday that I want to share. We have this bearded collie youngster. I mean, he's over a year now, but he's still in his mind quite a puppy. And he's nearly ungroomable. He's ungroomable at home because he acts up and doesn't, quote, let them groom him. And he lives with the other bearded collie, Katie, that we groom every 2 weeks, hardly ever, maybe miss one grooming in 10 years, you know. But every 6 weeks or so, we come in on a Monday and groom Charlie, and it takes both of us, and it takes about 3 hours, and he's usually matted and dirty. This guy lets his bearded collies go anywhere. I mean, goes down in the riverbed with them. They pick up stickers, and their white parts are brown. You know, and this bearded collie is a diluted brown coat. So it's hard to really tell, even in the tub, what's dirt and what's color.
Yeah.
Color. But I, since I'm right there and it takes both of us in the tub to just kind of keep him quiet in the tub, I decided that I would do a protein treatment bath. Just like it's sort of like a close open thing I was going to do. So I used the Chris Christensen foaming protein volumizer product that they have. And I'm very lucky because I have a few bottles of that that were retail and they never sold. So I really am obliged to use them up. And I wet him down and I applied the protein conditioner to all of the ends of the coat and we worked it in and we waited a couple of minutes and then I rinsed him. And you know what? He started coming out clean.
So no bath?
Cleaning. No, I ended up not bathing. Look at this. I was getting white hair on the dog and brown water from just the foaming protein treatment. Because you know what? There's a surfactant in there. I know there's a surfactant because it's foaming.
Oh, okay.
I used to have an ingredient list for that product. I haven't looked at it, but by golly, it was cleaning him. And I started saying, Yvonne, I don't think we need to shampoo this dog. I don't think we need to use, you know, a shampoo because he was coming through clean. And why? Here we've got this long coat. It's got to last a lifetime. And I'm just very aware that almost all cleansers are going to strip a little bit of the 18 MEA from the coat. And it's just like going to set it up for more coat damage. And, you know, it just contributes to the problem. So I rinsed him off real good and looked through him and he looked really very clean. And then I just did a show season honey conditioner with 2 extra shots of the stuff. So I loaded him, I conditioned him and loaded him with silicone because he was badly matted. He was matted on his side coat, along his sides. There were just whole areas as big as my fist that were tangled and on all of his legs were tangled. And, you know, I was freaking out, but I had faith. And you know what? He came out beautiful. And he dried quickly. which is a good thing because the dog has zero tolerance for the high velocity dryer, especially from the withers forward. I can kind of do his back end pretty good and I can use good power. But as soon as you get up there, I mean, he starts bucking and roaring and carrying on and snapping. And it's, it's kind of scary to have an 80 pound dog snapping at you.
What do you do?
Pawing at you. Well, I tightened up the head thing for one thing. But so Yvonne is asking me, should we muzzle him? And I'm thinking, I can't muzzle this dog. It's 85 degrees in here. And if I shut his mouth and he's acting this stressed, he could croak.
Absolutely.
Literally.
Yeah.
So I said, no, I said, Yvonne, we can tie him up tighter, but I cannot close his mouth because he's got to be able to breathe and I've got to be able to see the color of his tongue at all times. And so, you know, I backed off of the drying the front part and I turned the volume down and got some of it done. And, you know, we got him dry. And the amazing thing is, he was clean. There was one area that didn't get quite clean to my standards, and that was from the hocks to the paw down the back leg, the back side of the back leg.
Did you hit it with a spray-on shampoo or something before it went home?
No, it wasn't that bad. I just, the outside was fine and was white. It was just like down in there, I kind of knew that we hadn't gotten it 100%. So I made a mental note and I scissored up his feet real good. And when I scissor up those beardy feet, I pick the back paw up and then I go from the large pad up the back. I use my curved scissors and I get that pretty good. And so that bevels it and reduces the amount of hair that actually brushes through stuff. And it has a nice jaunty look too. You know, it doesn't look bad either that I bevel it that way. So I probably cut off some of what was offending us. And I was very pleased that the combination of lots of protein and lots of silicone, most of his matting brushed out.
That's interesting.
You know, I used the plastic brush from Target. The Swissco vented brushes. Those are my bearded collie brushes. I'm telling you, we both used our vented Swissco brush and I could just pretty much with a picking kind of action, I pulled apart most of those mats and then I went through, used a wide tooth poodle comb and I combed in anything that was too big for that comb. I just kind of picked apart quickly. You know, we got the whole dog done. We actually did him in less than 3 hours, but I waited for 3 hours before I called the owner.
Yeah, no need to shoot yourself in the foot there.
No. You know, I wanted to get my $150 for the dog. And
that's what I mean.
And you know, my mind was teasing me. Well, God, he was easier this time, or was he not easier? And well, there was a lot of dematting, and it was just like by the grace of God that I knew what to do to make that not so time consuming, and I should not be penalized for knowing how to get that out. So I sent $125 packing, and so by the time he answered the phone, it was $150, and he tipped $30.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah, so, you know, so each of us made some cash on an off day, which we desperately needed because it's been real slow, and I've had to limit how many dogs I did per day. You know, I've been doing three, four, five dogs a day because of the heat in the shop. And
it's like you're mobile.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
But you're not charging mobile prices, so that doesn't work very well.
So it's just it's a really good thing. Everything's working out except the cooler, where my customer friend, whose dog I board at my house, he's the one that's agonizing over. He offered to hook up the cooler, and he's kicking himself now. But he's got free grooming for life. That's how I can say free. I said, Michael, I'm so sorry I got you in this, because he's taking time out of his life that he doesn't really have to continue to fuss with this damn installation. So I just said, free grooming.
Yeah.
Well, there's no way other way. And he's fine with that. But it's income that I won't have.
Right.
But my point was, it was just like perfect that I got the Square Capital loan, because not only did it allow me to kind of do a better cooler, but it made up for the loss of income that I've had in these slow weeks because of the sauna effect inside.
We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15-1 for deep cleaning, 50-1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot special coat-releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. I also have been a little slow. It's partially my fault, and I recognize it now, the flaw in my thinking. You know how I hate new people, and I know a lot of the people that are at the Yacht Club. I've grown up there. I decided that I would not turn down Yacht Club dogs if they were in the right area. I would always take Yacht Club dogs. They're all gone for the summer. They're all on the boats. And so all of a sudden, I've got these weird days where I have no grooming, which is extremely unusual. I stick grooming in everywhere. And if I'm not grooming, I'm working on the podcast. So it's not like I have days off. But still, I have, for the first time ever, since I've so concentrated on adding all those Yacht Club people, that now I have this little lull that's happening right now. But it's okay, because I didn't schedule myself a vacation for the summer. Ooh, I did get this really cool invitation from one of our listeners, though, to go to Kennywood and stay at her house and ride the Steel Curtain, the new roller coaster back there that they just opened in Pittsburgh. I'm considering it, because here's
you know who's in Pittsburgh if you go there?
Who?
Jennifer.
Okay. Well, there's also, if I'm that close to, I know it's a big state, but if I'm that close to Hershey, I think I should go to Kennywood and go to Hershey. And I'm not talking about the seminar. I'm talking about the amusement park. So if I'm going to go there, then I probably will drive to the two places. I might have to do a little visiting with perhaps some other groomers, you know? You never know. Anybody wants to come to the park.
But if you're going to go to Hershey, you've got to go for a day to the show.
The problem is Kennywood is a seasonal park, so it's not open when Hershey is happening. So, yeah, see, some of the parks are seasonal. This is a little deep dive into the amusement parks. Some of the parks are seasonal. Some of them are year-round. California parks are year-round. The Orlando parks are year-round. But pretty much everybody else is not a year-round park. So they have this operating system that limits. Now, Hershey has gone to a longer operating system, but Kennywood does not have that longer operating system. So if I wanted to go to Kennywood and stay with our groomer pal and then also hit Hershey, I would have to do it before the summer was out. So I don't think it'd match up. But I agree. I will go to Hershey to Groom Expo one of these days just because it's the biggest show. And I know that that Hershey Park is open on the weekends. So I would go one day to the show, attend that really fancy dinner where the nominations for the Barkley Honors Awards, where the awards are given. Mm-hmm. What is it called? The awards banquet. I could attend the awards banquet. I could attend a day of the show. And then the other day I could do the amusement park, but I digress. Anyway, the idea was though, she came up with an idea that maybe I could do a seminar back there of some sort.
Yeah.
I've got some stuff I could do. I could do some stuff. I could talk about something. Lord knows I talk for an hour about nothing every week. I could certainly talk for an hour in a seminar somewhere. So I'm thinking about that as a possibility. If anybody's interested in hosting a Susie the Groomer seminar near an amusement park, let me know because I'm willing. Oh my goodness.
Oh God. You're so funny.
All right. So I got a nice little text message from a groomer that listens to the show. And one of the ones who's actually watching us live right now, at least I think she is. I noticed we've had somebody drop off. So apparently they didn't like amusement park talk. So she is a mobile groomer and she is working with this lady and has been with her for a little while, maybe about 10 months later. She started inquiring about purchasing her business, right? Purchasing the van and her business. And the lady has asked her several times, do you really want to buy the business? Do you really want to buy the business? That kind of thing. She asks if she's still interested, but she never gives her the paperwork that she needs to get the loan, which that's a red flag to me right there. It appears that if she bought her business and she's financed the van, then she's wondering, does she inherit that debt as well? And does she take a chance on buying this business? And I've got a lot of opinions on buying a business like this. And so I'm going to give them to you right now. I don't think there is a lot of value in a client base. I think the only value in the business is the physical attributes of the business, the van and the equipment. I think that just like you, if you go to a new hairdresser or you've been going to a hairdresser for years and years and years and your hairdresser sells and a new hairdresser comes in, you might try them once, but you might not. You might just go find a hairdresser from a referral from somebody you know that already has an established reputation. How do you feel about this whole buying an entire business thing?
Oh, I agree. And client lists, the problem with the client list, if you can't duplicate the service at the price that they've been getting, you're out anyway. So you either got to be as good a groomer as they are and you got to be willing. So what I had a friend that bought a stationery business. The groomer retired. She was a terrier specialist. She was well known and she had a well established client list, but she had not raised her prices in like 7 years. And so her pricing was way behind what it really took to feed the shop. And that's probably one of the reasons, probably one of the things that forced her into retirement. She was not willing to do more dogs and more dogs in order to make more money to make today's expenses. But she wasn't willing to confront people with a price increase. So she turned the business over to my friend, and my friend was stuck in this rut of either matching her prices or raising prices $10 or $15 each. for her customers. And her customers, those customers just dropped like flies as she raised her prices to what she felt she needed, you know. So she was good for a few months while she matched the prices. But as soon as she started hiking them up to where they really needed to be, the customers started bailing out and looking for other groomers.
And if you don't have a relationship with those clients, now in this case, she's already grooming for this lady. She has a relationship with these people. Why pay for them? They're going to come to you anyway if you get a van. You could just, I mean, this woman who has this van that is trying to lure you in to buy, but doesn't provide you with any of the information to get you to actually finance the business. I say, bad deal, find a different van. There's lots of vans. You could do house call. There's a million different ways you can service these people without getting yourself tied into someone else's complications with their vehicle. So what do you think? Is that good advice?
Well, I think it's good advice. I would pass on that just on the basis of it like not coming together, because there's got to be some underlying issue there, I think it smells.
I do too. I don't trust it. I don't like that she's not a good business person and whatever's going on with her debt versus income ratio could affect definitely the purchase of the van. And find something else. Find another van. But don't leave your job. Keep your job. It's easier to have a job and buy a van than it is to buy a van without a job. So keep the job. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep the experience going. Drop the talk about buying the van. Just drop the talk. Don't bring it up. If she brings it up, say, oh, maybe not so interested anymore. You know, if she thinks you want to, if she actually wants to sell, she'll make you an offer. And just don't disrespect her, but don't agree to anything and find yourself a new, better, different source. And don't buy a client list. Don't pay for a client list. Don't pay for a rented space. Don't pay for a business name. Start your own. Use your experience and you'll be fine.
Well, I'm going to take exception to the don't pay for a rented space. Because I think that that's a modality whose time is about to come.
What I mean by
spaces in a salon.
What I mean by that is don't pay someone a fee to take over their lease. I don't think that's good business either, right? Go ahead, stay in a shop. Shops are fine. There's nothing. If you want to do a shop, that's fine. But don't pay someone who doesn't own the business to get the privilege of leasing from that person, because you can make your own arrangement there. You don't need to have the renter make an arrangement.
You don't need to pay twice. You don't need to pay twice.
Yeah.
No, you know, like people want to bail out and they want to gather up as much money before they bail out as they can. And that's human nature. And that's all right. But you don't have to go for everything that they want.
Yeah.
You know, and client lists, I think client lists, I know I had a neighbor groomer try to sell me her client list for like $4,000. No, you know, like, and she was $10, $15 under my pricing. She was, and that's why she was in such dire straits. Again, you know, she was just like poor at setting her prices. And there was just a lot of funny stuff involved over there. And she was just like trying to get cash right away. She wanted to sell me her client list and she wanted to like skedaddle out of town. But
If we were talking about a different type of business, like a convenience store or a gas station or something like that, where you do rent that space, but you run the business, that's different. But for groomers, for our business, the situation that we're mostly in, we can just go off and do it ourselves. And you've always got to keep that in mind. You can always go off and work for yourself because there's plenty of dogs out there.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say again, one of the ideas to keep in mind is renting a space from an existing stationary salon, because that is a model you're going to see more of. It's working for hairdressers.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's becoming increasingly popular in the hairdressing business. And it's a way to make a good living without having to rent your own space and pay and have that overhead, and be an independent, true independent groomer at a rental, rent a table.
Yep. Charging your own prices, making your own choices on your products and your equipment and all of that. Yeah, you can do that when you rent a table. No, I think that's a good model. Actually, a really good model. Okay.
Yeah, especially because you can kind of develop up to the point where you can take your clients and go and have your own shop. If you find suddenly a space becomes available that's perfect, then you're in there.
Boom,
instead
you're in.
Of running all around your side of town looking for a cheap place.
Right. I like that. That works. I said, it's always easier to find a job when you have a job. It's easier to buy a van when you've got some place to work. You have an income. If you're going to have to finance it, it's better to be employed. So don't shoot yourself in the foot and walk away from this job. Keep the job, but make a plan for the future. And our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? We're going to talk a little bit about planning for the future right now, and Barbara's going to check out.
Something I never did. No, listen, it's okay. I'm sitting here. I'm practicing my CNN face.
Good. You look good.
You know, like I watch CNN all the time. I'll admit it. It's on day and night. And I watch how the panelists, they're like off site, even if they're right there in a chair, how they stay so very still and they don't make faces. And they don't fidget. Right now, everything is, my headphones are.
I try not to fidget, trouble. But it's very difficult for me. I mean,
so
even in a general service.
Yeah, I know. I'm practicing my CNN face while you carry on about planning for retirement, which I never did. And now I'm in deep shit.
Yeah, okay.
And now I can't. Now yeah. I can't. I will have to drop dead at the table. That's my retirement plan.
Well, that's actually a really good subject is you've got to kind of decide what does retirement look like for you? Retirement looks different for everybody. Like for me, retirement for me, it takes three different forms, none of which I will say include not working at all because I love working and it gives me purpose. It gives me something to do with my time. And when I have downtime, it's not such a good thing. So 1 year I was at the amusement parks in Orlando, and I saw these people who had like five different park passes around their necks. And I said, what's going on here? And they said, oh, this is our retirement. We spend every day at a different amusement park, and we just spend the whole day here. And I thought, oh, that's me. That's my retirement. Amusement park every day, move to Florida, annual passes, and then I'll groom occasionally, and that would be a good retirement. That's one vision of retirement for me. Another vision of retirement for me is the cruise ship retirement, where you just get on the cruise ship and you never get off, and you just, the world changes outside your window, and they bring your dinner to you every night, and it's cheaper than the assisted living. That's another version, a little bit harder to groom in that situation, but I can always podcast.
Did you read the story about the tilting cruise ship?
Oh, I know what happens in the water. Yeah, right. Worse than that, I take it that you took my advice and didn't go looking for amusement park news when I told you not to?
No. Because I don't want to worry about you.
No. And yeah, we'll just leave it at that. It was not a good day for the amusement park.
Falling out of the coaster? Yeah.
No. It was worse than that. We'll just not go there. Needless to say, the other, so those are two of my images, and really the actual reality of my retirement will be podcasting, working for the industry somewhere, continuing to do all that stuff. And I don't think I'll ever fully step down, but it'll be hopefully my choice and not because I didn't plan, because I have planned.
Yeah, I think especially when we don't have grandchildren, there's something about grandchildren it changes the whole picture. Then people want to retire so they can be with their grandchildren.
Right.
I don't exactly understand that, but I mean, I accept it. But there's something about, you know, like the, I guess it's a huge family values, you know, not having children and not having grandchildren. It leaves me wanting to stay connected to my internet family.
Good point. You know, that's, I never really thought of it that way. I don't have kids either. And, I guess I get the grandkid thing kind of, cause I was that grandkid that my grandparents were with me as pretty much as possible. I didn't even walk till I was 7 cause I was permanently installed on my grandfather's hip. He just carried me everywhere. Papa. And he'd pick me up and carry me. So I get it a little bit, but he worked and he played golf every day. So he actually sold real estate, took care of rental houses, and played golf in his retirement. So I know where it comes from.
What is it about golf?
I don't know.
That's another question. I just want to know, what the heck is it about golf?
I never got it. I've taken lessons. I've tried even as an adult, but it doesn't do it for me. It's not fast paced enough, I guess. There's the danger element isn't involved.
I'd rather play iPhone games.
Well, it's pretty outside, I think. And I think that's part of it. It made people go outside. My grandfather was 92 years old and he was still walking the course carrying a small bag of clubs. You know, was pretty impressive. It kept him going.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I'm hoping for those genes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's some sort of kind of a men's club thing.
A little bit. Yeah, I think so.
It's like,
all right.
It's a men's club thing without having to be football, you know, like.
Exactly. One you can get old with. Yeah. And there's drinking involved in betting. Drinking and betting in a sport. I think that's all that's required for it to make it. So I think that one thing that I want to say right smack off the bat, right first of all, you cannot. There's two things. First thing is, right off the bat. Number one is you should have an emergency fund and your bills paid before you start worrying about your retirement. So see, there's your excuse, Barbara. You've just got it right there. If you don't have enough money in an emergency fund, like say $5,000 would be, in today's money. Well, today's money. You know, you want to have enough money to pay for a surgery if you don't have insurance, or to pay for an emergency if you don't have it. But think about that before you go to a family planner or financial planner, because they're going to tell you exactly what I'm telling you now. You need to have a little savings account to back yourself up before you start putting that money away. But make it a priority to put some money away for your retirement when you're young, when it shouldn't even be in your mind, when you shouldn't even be thinking about it, because that's the way compound interest helps you. It doesn't help you if you're 50 and you start to put money away. Compound interest doesn't help you then. But the way the retirement fund, yeah.
You know, I'm going to talk again about this Square Capital loan that I took. So, you know, they pay themselves back out of your credit card charges. So in a way that you barely notice it. And I was thinking, why don't they offer a savings plan?
They do.
You know, why don't they offer a savings plan?
There's so many of them.
Same thing.
There are so many banks, you know, internet banks.
Because for me to take my money that I have at home, okay, I've got $250 here. Now, there's no, you know, like I have to steal from myself to put it in the savings account. You know,
that's a big point. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. That is a huge part of my talk, is how to trick yourself into saving money, because you have to do it. You have to trick yourself. But before I get there, I want to mention that the retirement system is rigged. It's an insider's game, and unless you get a financial helper, someone who is part of the game, you're not going to really be able to take the best advantage of your retirement. Retirement accounts, retirement, the ability to take money out that you don't see going out, all kinds of stuff like that are available. But to really negotiate the products that are available, you need somebody who knows those stupid products. So don't start. I mean, you can certainly start your own Roth IRA or retirement fund or anything like that. But I really advise you to find a decent financial planner, get a referral from a client who has some experience with someone, or go to a website that will guide you through, because you have to be very careful when choosing a financial planner. This is the key. You're very vulnerable.
Yeah, this is why I haven't done a debt consolidation thing.
You're very vulnerable.
I feel vulnerable, and I know that I am, and I am not going to pay someone to clean me out.
Yes. So the same can be said about some of these financial planners. Each financial planner has many variables with them: how they're paid, what certifications they have, what services they provide, how they communicate with their clients, and where they keep your money are all variables that are different for each individual person. That's why it's very important to get some help, get a referral, read up before you choose somebody. But really, how do we just start saving? Because that's the real thing here, is how do you save money? It's stinking hard to save money. I happen to be a good squirreler away of money. I squirrel things away, but I do it by tricking myself, because that's the only way I found it works. I can't just think I'm going to leave that money alone and leave it alone, because something will come up and I'll go in there and take it out. So I have to make it inaccessible to me, and I have to have it come out without my knowing about it at all. So which is difficult as a self-employed person. I have to set these things up, but I set up a little automatic draw that comes out of my bank account and goes into my Roth IRA every month, a little bit. Actually, I stopped doing that because now I don't need it. But for the longest time, that's how I snuck that savings money in. It was sneaky. I was very sneaky about it. I had to trick myself. So how else can we trick ourselves into saving? The automatic contribution is the easiest way, because you're out of the loop. And to put it in something like an IRA, where you get heavily penalized if you touch it, is another motivator to keep your hands off your savings for later. I think that there's ways we can do it ourselves. We can do retirement accounts, savings accounts. I like the put it in the safe or in the freezer or under the mattress or in the buried in the backyard. All of those work too. But the more money you have, the harder that becomes. So if you're an effective saver, you won't be having it under your mattress for very long, because I'm like the princess in the pea. I can't sleep on a lumpy mattress. So there would be a problem there. But those are ways that you can kind of start your savings account. And online banking is another thing. There's lots of online banks that pay you interest for your savings accounts. I'm not all that comfortable. I'm too old for the online bank thing. It makes me a little bit nervous. Go with an established bank. Maybe that gives you a good rate of return. The online banking, it's just a little, I don't know. Anyway,
weird. Yeah,
a little bit weird. So then there comes the point of, where does the money come from? You know, where does that money come from? When I was a drug dealer, we all know I was a drug dealer, right? We remember that? So when I was a drug dealer, I used to take all the $1 bills, and that was my spending money. So if anybody paid me with $1 bills, those went into my pocket, and then everything else went back into the reinvestment of into the business. So people found that out, and they started to pay for their cocaine in $1 bills, and my boyfriend started to get pissed. Because it was taken out of the big money. But that's one way. You could say every $1 bill goes into the kitty. So you take all your $1 bills at the end of the day, put them in the kitty. Now, this works for me because I'm a mobile groomer and I just don't exchange that many $1 bills. If you're in a shop and you've got high volume, that might not work so well for you. There's other ways, though. You could cut costs in your coffee and then take that money and put it in. Right? You could find places to cut costs and then take the money you save and put that away, because you can feel good about that. Once again, you have to leave it over there for it to become savings. Otherwise, it's just money in the bank, right?
Right.
A lot of people, and I know in this industry especially, pick up a side hustle. One might say, if we actually ever made any money, that this was a side hustle. But we're kind of self-sufficient. We don't really make any money. We just pay the bills. And if money comes in, then I send a little to Barbara and I keep a little to myself, and we pay for stuff and we buy stuff. And so if this ever actually really blows up really big, then this could be our side hustle. But people make bows. They do training. They do boarding. They do sell Tupperware or Amway or do all kinds of other side hustle stuff.
I had the musician, side hustle for many,
I taught many dance. Years. I taught dance till my ankle gave out 2 years ago. So now I can't really teach, but I'm hoping that eventually they'll put a bionic ankle in and I'll be back to teaching. But yes, so get yourself a side hustle, but make the rule that all the money that comes in from the side hustle goes into the savings account or into your retirement account. So these are ways you can trick yourself into saving. It's hard, though. And one of the hard things is to make it a priority. And I said at the beginning, you should have an emergency fund and that your bills should be paid. Not entirely true. I'll wrap myself out a little bit. Even if your bills aren't paid, you should take that money and put it away, a little bit of it. Do that contribution, the imaginary, the one that comes out of your bank account. Even if your bills aren't paid, continue to contribute to your IRA. That's really important for later on. So that's about all I have to say about retirement. Do you have anything to add about retirement and savings?
No, I'm still blown away by you admitting on live TV about your previous occupation.
I'm okay with it. I own my life. Hey, it makes me the character that I am. All of those little bits and pieces. Oh, one more thing. Yeah, bits and pieces.
Yeah, see, you have to get me drunk. You have to get me tired. It's going to cost you. If you want to know my little dirty secret, you have to take me out to dinner and get me drunk.
Right. So okay, I'll remember that.
I'm not going to blast it off here for free. You know? I got my shit too.
But, yeah, you know, I'm open. I'm open.
Give it away.
Yeah, I guess. Well, it so much affects the way I look at the world that I figure that I just let people know in advance that I was bad and naughty and that is part of who I am. And I'm an alternative lifestyle person, and being an alternative lifestyle person, I have a past that is different than most people's past. But you know what?
And I was a musician. I was not only an alternative. Hey, I was a beatnik in San Francisco.
I love to think you
that
like
was
that.
Even before the hippie. I was a beatnik.
And so cool.
That was the only. I wasn't that much into poetry though. But anyway, no, I do try to keep a bank savings account with enough in there to pay the mortgage.
That's good.
So, like, if the shit happens, at least I've got the mortgage payment covered. Because the worst possible thing would be for me to lose my home.
I agree. So,
but, you know, I do not have enough of a padding in there for very much slippage at all. And
right.
It tends to get used in other emergencies, and then I have to build it back up again. But
yeah,
I think that's your first goal, is to cover your rent or your mortgage.
Yeah.
And then you can add on what else do I not want to be caught without, you know, and you can trick yourself that way by saying, well, gee, I'd like to be able to pay the mortgage and pay the utility bill.
So okay. I'll also expose one more secret about what I do now to save money. And it's not a savings account. It's just how I have money on hand to then spend later. And that is the $100 bills go in the safe. So if somebody pays me with a $100 bill, it goes in the safe. And that is my spending money. Yeah. And the 50s too. The hundreds and the 50s go in the safe.
I keep the big bills too for as long as I can.
Me too. That's exactly it. That's the goal. See how long I can keep it. All right. Well, this has been fun. I hope that this worked for everybody. I'm interested to hear from you, the couple of you that are watching, if our sound levels were okay for you guys to listen to live, because this whole new system is a little complicated. Yeah. So.
And how was my CNN face?
Yeah, I think your CNN face was spectacular. I enjoy this there. See, look at it. It's beautiful. You're listening intently on the edge of your seat, waiting for every word. It's perfect. Okay.
Give me.
So once again, a reminder that the Barclay Honors nomination ballots went out. If you care to nominate us, that'll be great. We understand. If you don't, there's lots of other choices out there. But do get those nomination ballots in. They're the only recognition we have in the industry. That's it. We don't have anything else. Nobody else is doing it. Yep. And next week on the Groom Pod, on the regular show, we're going to dissect dematting, because we love dematting. Barbara and I love dematting. It's a science. There's technique. There's product. So next week, all about dematting. Meanwhile, Barbara, have a great week, and we'll meet back here next week and do it all again. So happy grooming, everybody. Bye.
Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.groompod.com. susie.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.